professional fighter now, and making a small fortune in property. How old are you?
I'm 22 years old.
How many deals a month do you sell?
Last month I sold 9 deals.
Damn.
I'm crushing business, and I'm also crushing fighting and training so hard. I'm doing both. It gives me an edge.
Just feels good to have a side quest sometimes.
I knew when I was working as an engineer that I was always making somebody else rich. That was not sitting well with me at all.
I think that's why you're so successful. I think it's the not just the business development, but the personal development. What does your business turn over a month?
Last month, in August, I turned over 45k. Still got to pinch myself because it's astounding, really.
So you're dominating Leeds at the moment.
That's right.
Young guy, professional fighter now.
Yeah.
Nice, mate. Just went pro.
This year I turned pro, yeah. So I've been getting paid for Thai boxing now.
Very cool, mate. Very cool. And making a small fortune in property.
That's right, yeah, definitely.
And just how old are you?
I'm 22 years old.
22 years old. You're achieving a lot, mate. What are your parents like? Are you from like a very successful family tree?
Honestly, no. So it's literally only me doing this right now. So I come from very, very humble beginnings, really. Just grew up with my grandparents all my entire life. Their trade is they just have a news agents. Ever since I was young, in school, so if we go back to high school, I was a little bit naughty. And yeah. I never really cared for school, you know. I always knew that there was a lot in me to be successful, build well.
When did you drop out of school?
So I got suspended from school.
It's funny, yeah. I just knew you had dropped out or something. You got suspended?
I got suspended in school, yeah.
Yeah.
Just your general stuff.
How old were you?
16. So I still sat my exams. Basically scraped a bare minimum.
What did you used to do at school? You say you messed around with a bit naughty. Like, what did you do?
You know, just, I was more bothered about, you know, speaking to friends and,
yeah. You know. You just didn't pay attention to school.
Didn't pay attention to school, yeah. I was more bothered about just chilling out, having fun.
When did you come across the world of wealth? When did you realise that school doesn't teach jack about financial literacy or becoming a business owner, an investor, interest rates, passive income, active income, assets, liabilities, nothing? When did you discover that world and how did it happen?
So this is really funny. So back in school, I used to watch like American property, like Chris Cron, them guys. And I just realised that it was nothing to do with UK property. So I've actually been watching you since 2018, Samuel.
So you were literally like 16, 17?
17, yeah, yeah.
I always find it awkward to get messages from people and they're like, I'm 16, I'm 17, they're not an adult. I'm 16, or at worst, it's 15. What advice would you give me? And I'm thinking, I can't give you any advice. Like, because if I say to you, well, drop out of school and do what I did, like, I'm going to have your parents coming for me. Like, I can't be really communicating with a kid. It's weird.
Yeah.
So you were watching, like, Grant Cardone and these guys from America.
Exactly.
And that kind of opened your eyes up.
That opened my eyes to investing, making money, making your money work for you. You know, I was 17. I think it's the same story with many people who start making money. You know, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I developed reading books, self-improvement books, Think and Grow Rich. You know, by Napoleon Hill, those books really helped me.
Yeah.
You know, dream big and, you know, want That's to great. Achieve success.
That's great. And what about boxing? When did, Thai boxing. When did that start?
Thai boxing started when I was 17 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I started it quite late into my adult life.
Yeah.
But I just grew a passion for it.
Yeah.
And quite quickly I was competing, you know, doing, you know, competitive spars and fighting. And yeah, I've just been on the ball ever since.
How often do you train boxing?
Man, I train 5 times a week, 6 times a week.
And for an hour?
Double sessions, hours on end.
So you do about, what, 10 hours, would you say, training?
Probably, man, yeah.
On top of that, you do running and
cardio, strength and conditioning.
On top of that?
On top of that, yeah. PTs as well.
Yeah. You know? Serious.
Yeah, yeah. Competitive as well, yeah. I'm fighting at a good level now, so.
Is that making decent money yet, or is it a bit of a slow game?
It's a slow game with Thai boxing. Yeah, it's a slow game. Property is where I make my money, as we know, yeah.
Why do you do the boxing if you're making so much money in property? And this is a question I get asked.
Mm.
People say, even now I'm doing a bit of boxing. People are like, why? Or if you're making so much money from property, why are you training people? Why have you got a podcast? What? It's like, because it just feels good to have a side quest sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, doing different things, opening a bank, building a hospital, building schools, setting up PIMS, having a training company, then building a statue after me after I die. Just feels good.
Yeah.
But what about you? Why do you do Thai boxing?
I'm still, well, it's simple really. I'm still young and I've got the drive, I've got the passion for it. I know I'm good at it. So why don't I just test myself and see how far I can really go with it?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get conflicted though between your sports and your business? Do you ever feel like, because I can't lie, when I was training for my big fight with Rob Moore, it was so difficult. Mm. Because I'm a bit of an all or nothing kind of guy as well.
Yeah.
So like, now I'm still training boxing, but just a bit lighter. But like the amount of training you're doing, like proper professional Thai boxing, but then also building a property business.
Yeah.
How do you like switch between the two?
Literally, it just comes to, it's hard to switch off because I feel like as an entrepreneur, I'm working 24/7 sometimes. So when I train, it's the only time I can get away from the business. So it lets me de-stress, you know, it lets me focus on something else, put my energy into something else. So it's okay. Like a good equilibrium, really.
Right, I do get that. Sometimes when I've been in boxing training, I mean, obviously I'm not training like you, but after a session, I feel quite de-stressed, refreshed and alive.
Refreshed, yeah.
I don't feel like going sometimes. I'm like, oh man, I'm knackered. But then I know once I get there and afterwards, I'll feel great.
And it's like you're ready to tackle some new problems as well, you know? Because if you can get punched in the face or you can whack pads, then, you know, you're ready to, it rejuvenates you.
When was your last fight?
3 weeks ago now.
Did you win?
Yeah, I knocked him out.
In what round?
Fourth round.
Nice. Yeah, it was a war. So, okay, how do you think, talk to me about mentality, right? You're a young guy, you're 22. How does a 16, 17-year-old kid that's been suspended from school, that basically flunked out, living with grandparents, no one around you at all that sort of shown you the way to be great success in the traditional sense? Like, how do you, from that environment, living in Leeds in just a few short years, to being a professional fighter and having a property business that makes, what does your business turn over a month?
Last month in August, I turned over 45k.
Right. None of the other fighters that you're fighting are making that kind of money. How does it feel as well when you're fighting? Do you ever think like, when you're looking around at all the fighters, everyone trained, do you ever think like, wow, I'm probably making more than all of them combined? I don't want to be a dick or anything.
But... I don't want to be a dick.
No, of course not. But does it feel weird?
It feels good. In the back of my mind, it just gives me that edge as well.
Yes.
It does. It really does.
Why does it give you an edge?
Well, because I'm crushing business and I'm also crushing fighting and training so hard. So I'm doing both.
Yeah.
It gives me an edge.
Going back to my original question, how do you go from where you were, some kid in Leeds, to where you are? Like, how does that happen?
You know what, Samuel? I still got to pinch myself because it's, you know, it's astounding, really. I don't even know how I've done it. Just having the right people around me, just being confident in myself. You've got to be really confident in yourself. And you've just got to dream big and take massive action all the time.
What's harder, becoming financially free in property or becoming a pro fighter?
They're both very hard on their own. Property business is different. You're going to get a lot of rejections, but I think anyone can make it. Thai boxing is different because you're going to get a lot of setbacks, injuries. You know, you're going to get some bad days. But if you keep pushing, you're still going to make it. But you've got to have that strong mentality to actually make it in both.
Yeah, I mean, after doing a bit of both, I would say that fighting is way harder. I mean, I can become financially free again in a week from scratch.
Yeah.
I know I've got the experience and the skills. I see people all the time within a matter of weeks. How long did it take you to become financially free after deciding, right, I'm going all in, I'm on the academy. How long did it take you?
So I joined the academy last July, and really my first sizable month where I turned over five figures, you know, that were last June. Well, June, it was June.
So about 4 months, June, about three months ago.
About 3 months ago.
So it took you a while to get your first deal?
No, so my first deal I got in November.
Right.
So I got around 3-4 months after being on the academy. So I got that deal, it was good. It was making good money, making about a grand, somewhere around there, 1,200, 800, whatever. Then for another few months, I got my second property in April, so it was a bit slow.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just picked up and blew.
Mm, why do you think that was?
I feel like it's just, as long as you keep taking massive action, it's going to happen for you.
So you really blew up then around sort of June time?
Yeah.
So just before your big fight with me? Because you were fighting on the undercard.
The Rob Marvel undercard.
Yeah. So around about then is when it blew up. What caused that?
I think it was just constantly taking action, you know, constantly getting my face out there, speaking to other academy members.
Okay, so brand, was it your brand?
The brand.
Did the boxing help?
It must have helped a little bit.
Also, when you started out, how much money did you have to get started in your property business and where did that come from?
Good question. So when I was watching YouTube videos around 17, you know, watching you, I'd watch like things about stocks. So I started just funneling as much money as I could into stocks for my job.
From your job? What was your job?
I was a maintenance engineer. So okay. I was an apprentice. So I left school, you know, got an apprenticeship in maintenance engineering.
Were you earning good money doing that or was it just like...
As an apprentice, I was earning about 20K. But then I left that and got a full-time job. I was earning about 45K.
That again, that's pretty remarkable. For how old? 18?
So I was 21.
Okay.
When I was earning 45.
All right. It's still pretty good though. So you were basically just using that money?
I was using all that money.
Put it in a bit into stocks.
Yeah. If that was going up, I pulled some money out, paid for the academy. I even did property training back in 2020 as well, which wasn't with yourself.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, look, man, people sometimes say to me, you know, oh, I've done a course with somebody else as if I'm going to be like, oh no, we're the best, come to us. I'm like, nah, man, just get educated. Whether that's from school, whether that's from Grant Cardone, whether that's from Tony Robbins, get educated in business and real estate. I think property is probably, in my opinion, I think it's probably the strongest and safest investment.
I agree.
Why did you choose them? Because you've dabbled around in other courses, you did a bit of stocks. Why did you choose property?
I chose property because I always knew that I wanted my own business and to be financially free and to work for myself. Because I knew when I was working as an engineer that I was always making somebody else rich. And for me, that was not sitting well with me at all. I felt like a slave, having to clock in. You know, I wasn't allowed freedom.
My
income was capped.
Sure. And for somebody that does bad in school and doesn't necessarily like being under authority and being told what to do, and which I assume that probably is like you because you were messed around in school and didn't want to submit to the rules. Some people aren't made for a job. And those people often get ignored in schools because if you're the kind of kid that doesn't want to think inside the box, put your hand up when you want to go to the toilet, wait for the bell to ring, yes, miss, yes. If you're not about conforming like that, and some people are and some people aren't, but if you're not about that life, then there's nothing really that they teach you at school that's very helpful. They don't teach you about being a business owner or an entrepreneur. There's nothing.
Nothing, no.
So thank God for YouTube. So what a brilliant, brilliant asset to humanity YouTube and podcasts really are.
100%. You know, books as well. You know, self-education, it's also important.
Did you have a car at the time?
When I was 18.
Yeah, did you turn your car into a mini university and get like all the audio books and stuff? Yeah, of course you did, man. Yeah. And I think that's what's paid off for you. I think that's why you're so successful. I think it's the not just the business development, but the personal development through all these books and readings. Talk to me about the academy then. So you enrolled into the academy about a year or so ago?
Yeah, just over, yeah.
And what were your thoughts at the time? Were you a bit scared? Were you nervous, apprehensive? Big investment for a young guy.
I was nervous, but I knew I could make it work. And I just knew if I, you know, submerged myself into it and really got into it and into the nitty gritty, took massive action, that it will pay off for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the network was so powerful. I was seeing people around me making, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60K a month, which, you know, they're genuinely people's salaries. You know,
a year.
That's a yearly salary for a lot of people. But I knew that I could always achieve it. And being around these people, I knew that it was going to be me. It was just a waiting game.
Where do you think that belief comes from? Do you think the belief's always been there from school? Or do you think it helped actually seeing real people and going, oh my gosh, they know better than me? And like, where did do you think that confidence and belief that you could make that kind of money came from?
A little bit of both. Uh-huh. So it came from school because I knew it was attainable, you know. Yeah. And you know what? A little bit about my why is I want to give back to my grandparents as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've lived with my grandparents since I was young. I touched on this earlier. So when I was young, my mum actually passed away.
Sorry to hear that, bro.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So I lived with my grandparents all my life. And, you know, they're in the trade. They've just got a star, you know, a news agent.
Uh-huh.
So I just really want to give back to my grandparents now.
Yeah.
And show them that, you know, I can support them and provide for them and, you know, help them out. So that's a big reason, a part of my why as well.
That's awesome. So what do you spend most of your time doing then on the property business? Where's most of your time?
Definitely deal sourcing.
Okay. How many deals a month do you sell?
Last month I sold 9 deals.
Damn.
Yeah.
And how much are you charging for a finder's fee?
3K.
So last month you did about 27 grand. You know what I love about deal selling? the expenses and overheads are so low because, I mean, you've not even got any staff. You don't have an office. You work from home.
That's right, yeah.
You don't have an office. You don't have any staff. 27 grand from deal selling. And you've got, how many rent-to-rents do you have?
So my own rent-to-rents, I've got three. I'm picking up my fourth one this month as well. And in my management company, I've now got six.
So in total, you've got like nine properties that you're sort of either involved with in some way, controlling, managing. What's the cash flow on those for you?
So my own rent-to-rents, they profit around 1K each. You know, some months are better. One of my properties profited 1,800 last month.
Nice. So you're financially free just from your few rent-to-rents?
Yeah.
What about the management stuff?
The management's going really well. Those few properties turned over 10K last month.
Great.
I take my cut out of that. I paid myself around 2K from that.
Cool.
Charging a 15% management fee.
So if you had to list them in order of best to worst, managing other people's properties, deal selling, or your own personal rent-to-rents, what are you saying from best to worst?
I'd say deal sourcing is up there.
At the top?
Yeah, because it's high ticket at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's so high ticket, and it's nice to have that cash in the bank. Managing other people's is really good as well because it's none of my own money in.
Yeah, you're not. There's no risk for you.
Yeah.
And then rent-to-rent's last?
I'd say rent-to-rent's last, but it's probably joint second.
Okay. Interesting, though. I love the management side of things, though. So talk to me about that. How are you finding these properties, these opportunities to manage other people's properties? How does it work? How much do you charge?
Yeah, so I basically go through landlords and estate agents, and I found now, because I've been doing property for around a year, the landlords I work with, they're generally passing my name on to other landlords. So quite a few of my properties recently, I've noticed it's been through word of mouth, because then, you know, they know that I pay the rent on time, I cover maintenance issues, I don't give them a headache. So they're passing me these properties, which I can then package and sell or take on for myself, and then say to the investor, look, this property is in Leeds. You might be in, I don't know, Manchester or London or Scarborough. I'll manage it for you. What do you think? And because it's fully hands-off and passive, they're all in for it. And I charge around 15%.
15%? And are you targeting people that are already running a serviced accommodation themselves? Or are you pitching people and going, hey, why don't you run this short stay lets? I'll take over the process. You'll get more money. I'll manage it. How are you doing that?
A bit of both. So it's people who've never done it before, who I've got to educate at the same time, and people who are already running their own service accommodations and want to build their portfolio.
Right. And you're just stepping in and managing it.
Exactly. I'm providing a service.
That's awesome. What would you say, what's your experience been like on the academy then? Like, what's that process been like?
I've absolutely loved it. You know, I've networked with so many people, the mentors, you know, yourself. I mean, you always give me opportunity to go on stage and talk, which I thank you for as well. It's been amazing. The network is so valuable, and being surrounded by so many like-minded people, you can't put a price on it.
Yeah. So no regrets?
No regrets at all.
Who was it that, like, you spoke to about the academy initially, or was there someone you saw on Winners on a Wednesday, or was there some sort of thing that triggered you and said, I'm in, or what was it?
Well, I knew I wanted to do property for a while, and I was actually speaking to Ibby on a phone call.
Yeah.
Because I messaged you on Instagram, and I think I just messaged you saying, I want to pay for property training. So you got Ibby to call me that same night, and a few weeks later, I got signed up to rent-to-rent SA and HMO intensive.
Makes sense. Got one of the courses first, see what happens.
Yep. And when I was there, in that environment, I just knew I wanted to be on the academy. I wanted the gold badge.
That's great, man. What would you say has been the biggest learning point over the last year or so of being full-time? Well, I was going to say full-time property, but you're also a professional fighter full-time. But being financially free, building a large portfolio, becoming a property entrepreneur, what would you say has been some of the biggest learning points? Which if you were advising someone that was a year or two behind you, you'd be like, hey, heads up. Boom.
Reach out and definitely utilise your network and the mentors. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to help you a lot. You know, they've been there, so they can talk from experience. Mm-hmm. And they're going to help you see things which originally you couldn't see.
Makes sense. Don't reinvent the wheel. But it's the same with boxing, right? Imagine trying to box or learn to fight without a coach, without any training, just at home, reading books, watching YouTube videos. You're never going to be any good. You're always going to be shit. When you get proper training, proper education, that's when you excel. Yeah. And yeah, there's a bit of an investment. And yeah, it's not going to be riches overnight. And yeah, it's going to take a few months before you really start seeing the investment. And for some people, it might be I mean, there's some people that make money on the first program. They come on the program and sell it. And for other people, it's 6-12 months later before they put it. It depends. Everyone's different. Comparison's the thief of joy. Everyone's on their journey. But I think, as I say, you wouldn't try and learn to box without a boxing coach.
And I think it's finding the best coaches, the best mentors, the best boxing coaches who are really going to excel your performance as well.
Yeah.
So it's like being on the academy and being trained by the best. You know, I'm surrounded by some of the best entrepreneurs.
Yeah, you know. You're literally there with millionaires and multi-millionaires. Like, what about the Accelerate Coach Performance Program?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
I got grilled.
Yeah.
I got grilled, yeah.
But you got, like, myself, Russell, my business partner, Tony's done 100 mil, whole bunch of millionaires, sat down, you on the chair, going, right, let's go through your business plan. Like, where else can you get that? For like 20 minutes, we were just boom, 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 boom. And we had to scrap off one of your...
One of my ventures, yeah.
Talk about that. Talk about that.
So it was a furniture and staging, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing that and you used this analogy. You said it's for Jordan Peterson 80-20 rule. Teshi, you're spending 80% of your time focusing on 20% of the money because I might have turned over 20-25K that month. I only made 4-5K from the furniture and staging. And I was spending hours getting those properties set up.
Mm.
And it was just not sustainable. I was killing myself. So you just told me, you need to outsource it. You need to do something about it. So that's what I've done. I've took action.
That's great.
And I've now focused my 20% making 80% of the money, boom, which is still sourcing.
And hopefully that's helped scale you up a little bit.
Helped scale that's me
the
up. Thing.
You're right, having the right coach. Ironically, I then tried to pull you back in to help me do some flat packing on one of my properties. And you were like, no, man, I've been banned from that now.
I'm not allowed to do that.
You've been banned from flat packing. Yeah. Only allowed to be selling deals, taking on properties, signing leases. That's awesome. Well, I'm really, really proud of what you've achieved. And I know this is just the beginning. And on the fighting side as well, mate, like, huge respect for that. What will be your final words of wisdom to anyone listening to this?
Final words of wisdom, take massive action. Believe in yourself, get surrounded in the right environment, and find the best coaches and mentors.
Love. Thanks, bro.
Cheers, bro.